loss of a political maverick. Will there be anyone in the Republican Party to pick up the slack? North Korea flippers and Donald Trump can't Google himself in the Oval Office anymore. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from 2SER. Each week we talk about the latest news and politics from the land of the free and the home of the brave. As always, find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, you've spoken previously about John McCain as a good man, a man of great respectability. Any thoughts on his passing?
Well, he was a maverick because he was in the center. And that made him a maverick. He did the things that were best for the American people. But from his point of view, which I wouldn't consider a conservative, I consider him a person who had a progressive right point of view, soft on the social, hard on the economic.
I don't want to get into the pettiness that's been reported from the White House, quite frankly, but McCain's legacy as a maverick, as a dissenting voice in the Republican Party, or what the Republican Party has become, what do you think that legacy is likely to become now?
That's a little bit difficult to say because there's so much tumult going on now. It'll take a little while for things to settle down, and then McCain can be looked at retrospectively. But right now, it's this battle he had with Trump rather than his larger things that he contributed to the American people in the American way. And that's going to take a little bit of time. I hope it doesn't get caught up in whether the flag is up or down on the White House.
Let's talk trade. The United States and Mexico have settled on a new trade agreement that may later include Canada to replace NAFTA. Any thoughts?
Well, they have not settled on it. Mexico does not want to sign this trade agreement until Canada does, because Mexico can have a trade agreement with the United States where goods flow to the United States and then are blocked at the Canadian border. This NAFTA agreement, an agreement that covers all parties, particularly with farm goods. So if Canada is not included, it's bad for the United States. I don't understand what much Trump's trying to do, because the agreement he signed with Mexico is basically the agreement he had with Mexico. But of course, he's going to claim it's paying for the wall.
And breaking news this morning, Trump making claims again that the United States will be pulled out of the WTO, the World Trade Organization. I got to say, this one's landing a little bit more like a distraction. I mean, he's gone back and forth on this one previously, but it just seems like with all the news we've heard this week, this one just seems to be dropping out of nowhere as let's look over here instead of over there.
Well, the World Trade Organization is really been considered a puppet of the United States. WTO has been a constraint on other nations in their trade, favoring the United States a great deal. Clearly, it is a way of doing collective bargaining, as it were. If the United States pulls out, several things will happen. One, a lot of currencies around the world will crash because it means they have no protection from flooding goods coming from China and elsewhere. The second thing that will happen is it means that trade agreements will go kind of one-on-one, like the Australians with the Indonesians that is happening now. And those kinds of agreements usually are very one-sided from one side or the other. And the poorest, least powerful nations get the short end of the stick. So we can't have that now. That would mean massive immigration from those poor nations to the United States and Australia. Trade is the thing that props those nations up.
North Korea, Mike Pompeo won't be returning to the Hermit Nation after a nasty letter apparently sent to the White House, and Secretary of Defense James Mattis indicating future war exercises with South Korea will likely go ahead. Seems like a rare admission of failure from the Trump White House.
Remember, all this stuff is done for the stage. It's not done for the content. So the content here, we're not looking at. The North and South Koreans are meeting. The Chinese are part of those meetings. So we might have an agreement in which the Chinese are constraining the North Koreans from using nuclear weapons and creating a Korean Peninsula agreement on the verge of a new kind of German agreement. Maybe Trump would take credit for that, but it certainly won't be his.
And I wanted to talk the other side of the table this week. It's quite interesting when we look at the lead up for the 2018 midterms. The Democrats are making an interesting move of stripping superdelegates of power. Superdelegates caused quite a bit of controversy in the run-up to the 2016 election and the primary race between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I don't think, looking at the numbers across the board, it actually would have made a difference whether Democrats had superdelegates or not at that particular time. But any thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, let's let people understand what superdelegates are. They're delegates who are disproportionately voters because they're women, they're young people, they're senior citizens, they're disabled, they come from areas in which the gerrymandering's been so bad that Democrats can't really get in a seat in the House of Representatives. So the superdelegates were meant to overcome a problem because you left things as it was. People of those particular backgrounds had no voice. We've come a long way since then. There are plenty of blacks now in the delegations. The gerrymandering's bad, but there are blacks who make it into the Democratic Party and into the polling booths now. So I don't think it'll make a big difference. The thing it does, though, and we have to pay attention to this, it'll bring young people to the Democratic Party because they can get in as regular delegates because so many spots will be opened up. And I think this youth movement in the Democratic Party is something that's going to have to be reckoned with very soon, both in the party and in the nation.
And in a similar vein, the Democrats' biggest super PAC is looking into U.S. voting rights, research essentially on how fair the ballots actually are. Meanwhile, the White House won't back a bipartisan bill covering election security. Clearly, we are pulling in different directions here, Ed.
Well, the White House doesn't believe that the Russians tampered, even though everybody else in the world does. I think the Russians even believe that at this point. This security bill is to say if anyone tampers with the U.S. elections, they will face serious penalties. If the White House backs out, it just means the Congress will vote 99-1 to support it.
Let's talk Trump's latest dramas. Fallout from the Cohen situation. Reportedly, Trump's lawyers advised him to claim the hush money Cohen had pled guilty to helping pay out was part of ongoing payments. I suppose to try and get around the issues you mentioned last week, with this being part of the self-funding of an election campaign. Trump refused to agree on this one, Ed.
I don't know what Mr. Trump is up to. He will not listen to his lawyers. His lawyers are trying to keep him out of jail and keep his son out of jail and others. I think he's like one of these people who goes to his lawyers and says, I'll defend myself. And that's what he's up to now. Every time he says something, he makes the hole deeper. First, the money came from, he didn't know anything about it. It came from Mr. Cohen directly. Next, he paid it out of a personal account. And now sometimes he might even paid it out of his foundation's account, which would make it even super bad. Money that was supposed to be for the poor and needy. I suppose Donald Trump Jr. is needy. But certainly those women aren't, nor is the National Enquirer. So this is just becoming the kind of mess, and it just begins to stink. Mr. Trump said he was going to take the government out of the swamp. He didn't say he was going to put it in the sewer.
It almost seems like he's, the way he's lived his life, the way he's experienced things up until now, there's always a loophole. There's always some way of getting around this law, this statute, whatever it is.
He's never had to face consequences like you and I do. So his actions, as people say, his poop never stunk. So his actions have never been questioned, and he doesn't understand anyone questioning them now. What I can't understand is these multiple lies, these awful allegations, keep the Christian right on his side. What is that about?
On the subject, Trump also floated the idea of making flippers like Cohen illegal. Basically, this is senseless policy. And top White House counsel Don McGahn, following cooperation with the Mueller investigation, he's going to be on the out. So flippers, not terribly popular. People have got to be wondering who's next.
It has been the practice since law has gone in, back in the days of the early Anglo-Saxons, that if a person told something on his neighbor and he was also part of it, he got a lighter sentence. That's just been a practice going back probably 1,000 years. Now, all of a sudden, Donald Trump is going to be wiser than Solomon, wiser than people who practice law, and wiser than the courts. Is this supposed to be some kind of a bad joke? The way you get evidence is through people who will tell you. And many times they're telling you because they're going to get a lesser sentence. The jury can judge that. They can say, hey, that guy's telling this only because he's getting a lesser sentence. That's exactly what happened in the Manafort trial. Gates' testimony was thrown out by the jury for that reason. So the jury can or cannot listen to this. But I don't think they're throwing out his testimony really interfered with their judgment. They heard it. And when they heard it, they said, this man is guilty.
And Trump has also been echoing right-wing conspiracy theories this week that Google has anti-conservative bias and hides positive Trump coverage when you Google Trump news. Basically, Trump can't Google himself in the Oval Office without getting bad news, and he's upset about this. He's even floated the idea of internet regulation. This is getting a bit cartoonish, Ed.
Well, I went on this morning to see what good news there was about us. And mate, we are not getting the kind of ratings we deserve. So I'm with Mr. Trump on this one, and we'll march right down to the courthouse and get Google fixed. What a bizarre comic, cartoon, ridiculous act. He just cannot take any criticism, and his followers are burrowing in. Anything that's critical of him is a sin. I think the last time this happened was back in the days of the Spanish Inquisition. I had to send them the book.
And let's end on some good news, Ed. Florida could have its first black governor, Andrew Gillum, if he's successful in November after a stunning upset in the primaries. Any thoughts?
Remember, this is following a bit of a trend. First in New York, the young woman who upset the existing Democratic congressman. Then the same thing happened in Kentucky. The candidate for governor in Georgia will be a black female. So I think the Democratic Party is now beginning to look like the American people. What a dangerous thought.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.